Hey everybody, I'm Allie Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast, where we teach you timeless biblical truths that can heal soul hurts. I want to talk to you today about a subject I'm very passionate about. And the reason I'm passionate about it is because it was a huge problem area in my life for a long time. And because it was a problem area, it actually prevented me from really walking in the fullness of my purpose. And if I'm honest with you, I have to daily watch this in my life so that I can become all God created me to be. And see, that matters. It matters for me, and it matters for you to become who God created you to be, because when we walk in the fullness of that, yes, it's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you a satisfaction like there's just no other. But it's also about the people that are going to benefit from this too. Those that God has called you to help. And so inside of the book of Hebrews, it says, let us throw off everything. And sometimes we can weigh ourselves down with the way that we're spending our time, the people that we're spending time with, just even our surroundings in life. What I want to talk to you about today is setting boundaries. This is huge. This is so huge because when we set boundaries, when we free ourselves from the guilt to, you know, that we can start to say no to people so we can say yes to God, when we set boundaries and surround ourselves with the right environment, that's when we begin to soar. Now, the scripture that I'm pulling from this week is in Mark chapter 4, specifically verses 1 through 20. And I'm going to be concentrating on just the last five verses, specifically with verse 20. Now, these scriptures talk about the seed parable. Jesus was always teaching, and a lot of the way that he taught was through story. He would tell a story to illustrate a kingdom principle. And if I was asked the question, so, you know, you can only take one parable with you, like in writing, like which one would it be? It would be this parable. In fact, this is the first parable that Jesus taught, and it is literally slammed packed with awesome lifetime principles. But today, I'm going to pick out one that I think is so paramount. And oftentimes we don't practice this principle that I'm getting ready to tell you. And the reason why we don't practice it is because we feel guilty for saying no. We feel guilt for setting boundaries. And often because we feel guilty and we don't set boundaries, we end up wasting our time and wasting our energy instead of creating the harvest. See, who you surround yourself with matters. It matters greatly. And that's one of the principles that we see inside of the seed parable. Now, the seed parable, you may be very familiar with this, but if you're not, basically, Jesus is illustrating the story of a farmer who scatters seed. And the seed lands on four different types of soil. One was seed that fell on the soil that had a path. The other was seed that fell on rocky soil. The other was seed that fell among the weeds. And the final seed was seed that landed on the good soil. Well, the first three soils that I mentioned, the rocky soil, the pathway soil, the soil with the weeds, all of those seeds had trouble producing a harvest. But listen to what it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 20 about the seed that fell on the good soil. It says, and the seed that fell on good soil represent those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. See, from this, one thing that we see and that you and I need to keep in mind is that the success of the seed was determined by the soil. The success of the seed was determined by the soil. And see, the soil surrounded the seed. And what we can take home from that, the biblical, the timeless biblical principle that you and I need to start implementing is that what we surround ourselves with matters. It matters. The people that you surround yourself with, the way that you spend your time. And so in order to be able to be proactive about that instead of reactive, we have to set boundaries. You see, women who are wise know this, that it is only through guarding our time and guarding our relationships and guarding, you know, what we allow into our life that we're able to give ourselves fully to our purpose. Setting boundaries to surround yourself with the right environment is the key to soar. But here's the thing. Do you ever set boundaries? Do you ever say no to somebody? And then, or maybe you're like, I really need to tell that person no, but you don't end up doing it. You find yourself saying yes. And the reason is that guilt is like grabbing you back, right? And oftentimes, guilt is often the culprit of living in the freedom of just letting God be the one that guides you so that you can live and become all God has created you to be. But the second thing I think, and I absolutely experience this in my life, is that if this was not modeled for you, it's really kind of hard to know how to do it. In other words, setting boundaries is a skill that we have to learn if we haven't been around it. Now, some of us may have grown up in homes where there was zero boundaries, okay? And so that's on one extreme. The others of us, there may have been boundaries, but the boundaries were like walls. They were closed boundaries. And that's not healthy either. I mean, if it was, we don't do this and we don't do that, the wall that it creates, the control that it puts you under is this closed environment. And the reason why that does not work inside of kingdom principles is that when we set up these laws in our life, like these, I will never, I will always kind of thing, that it prevents us from walking in the liberty of the Holy Spirit. God's picture for healthy boundaries is a fence with a gate, and that Jesus is the gatekeeper, and that as we seek him daily, he will let us know what is a yes and what is a no. But the very first hurdle that you must get through this hurdle, is that who you surround yourself with matters. And that God's goal for your life is not to be nice. How many of you, like me, I do not want written on my tombstone, she was nice. I want it to be written on my tombstone, she made a difference. She was a difference maker. And see, here's the thing. You cannot have both. You cannot have both. And I think that from our socialization, but also just from what has been modeled to us and really some misconceptions about biblical womanhood, we've created this goal to be nice. And we've confused that with being nice and being kind. Okay, and let me get to that in a minute. But if you have this goal in your head that you have to be nice and you can never say no, that's where the guilt comes from. Because you've set up this law, this goal, this You and some of us even, if you're a people pleaser, you get your worth and value out of everybody liking you. And so to say no, guilt comes on the scene. And it's very, very hard to do. But God is not calling you to be nice. He's calling you to be kind. The Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And you and I can learn how to say a kind no. We can learn how to say no to people. We can learn how to, maybe with some people we're going to draw close in our life, but others who continue to criticize us, continue to pull us down, don't believe in our purpose, well, we're not going to feel guilty anymore about loving them from a distance and holding them at arm's length. Is there a person in your life right now, and every time that you're around them, well, I mean, they just, it's like it saps your energy. Could it perhaps be that tie, that relationship has become unhealthy and it's time to let it go? But maybe the reason why you're still surrounding yourself with that unhealthy relationship is because you are plagued by guilt. Sometimes you need to say no. In fact, inside of the Bible, and I'm going to give you four women that you can look up, and you can do this after the podcast. You can either Google it, or if you're sitting down, I can give you the scriptures right now. But Deborah, Judges 5:4, she was a woman that had to make some pretty bold moves. Esther, same thing. And that's in Esther 4:13-8:17. Abigail, 1 Samuel 25. Now that's a good story. That's a great story. You should read the story of Abigail. Mary of Bethany, when she was breaking her alabaster jar, she could not pay attention to the critics. And that's in John 8:1-12. And my reasoning for bringing all this up is because sometimes I think that we get a little bit confused about God's goal for us. God's goal is that we would walk inside of our purpose, that we would become who God created us to be. And that matters. It matters. Because when a seed is planted and it creates a harvest, that harvest will bring joy into your life, as I said, but it's also the harvest is also for others. And when we can't say no, it hinders the harvest. And I don't know about you, but are you ready just like me? Are you willing to see what the difference is between being nice and being kind? One thing that you can do after this podcast is to read one of those stories and see how, despite the critics, despite the opposition, they were not afraid to say no. They were not afraid to walk after their purpose. God is not calling you to be nice. He's calling you to be kind, to be kind. And when we understand that biblical womanhood is about that and nurturing our harvest, and part of that is putting people around us that nourish and feed us instead of deplete us, that puts everything into a different perspective because it changes your goal. So I'm going to give you just some things that I've learned and I'm continuing to learn about boundaries, some keys to boundaries. The first one is this, that boundaries are personal, meaning they should be tailored for you. Meaning there are some things, you know, let's say that your family has a history of diabetes and you're really trying to watch your sugar, or you just have decided you want to eat healthy. Well, let me tell you something. If you keep a bunch of sweets in your house, that's going to be very hard. A wise woman would not even put that stuff in her house. And the first thing, sometimes with things, we have to set boundaries, right? But it's personal. Somebody else may be able to be in a house with a bunch of sweets and it's not going to bother them. It's very personal. The same thing happens with people in our life. There are some people that you don't need to be close to. If you are a former people pleaser like me, controlling people are not people that I need to be close to. But somebody else may not have an issue with this because they're the rock star with boundaries. And they've, you know, but if you're just learning out this skill, you probably should keep people like that at arm's length. And see, there's all different kinds of soils. In fact, there's a, I like to work in my yard, and I was going to my favorite gardening place. And there was a wall back behind the gardening place, and what hung on the wall was seven different types of soil that you could buy, like packs of soil when you're planting a plant. And every time I buy a plant, I ask them, what type of soil is best for this plant? In other words, you know, like for example, when you plant roses, there's a type of soil that actually incorporates sand into it so that the soil can drain easily. When you plant a hydrangea, it needs a different kind of soil. Okay, now this is getting very technical. For those that love like gardening, some of you may be like, whatever is at the hardware store, that's what I get. But the point that I'm trying to make is that different plants thrive in different types of soil. And what we need to do is seek the farmer for our filter. If God is our farmer, He is, and if listen to this, if God is the one that created us, He knows how we're wired, He knows where our weaknesses are. We've got to seek Him for the filter. So boundaries are personal. And when you are looking for guidance in that area, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can lead us into all truth. And really, really, all the permission that you need to set boundaries in your life, and I'm telling you, there's somebody listening today, and there's an unhealthy relationship in your life, and you're afraid to say no. You're afraid to set some healthy distance. Now, I don't mean you don't need to call them up and say, I'm never going to see you again or that kind of thing. I'm saying take baby steps back and love from a distance. I mean, if there's somebody in your life and it literally is draining the energy out of you, or maybe it's not a person, maybe it's your thought life. Maybe you're replaying a wrong over and over again in your head, or you're worrying over and over again in your head. That's dishonoring to God. Because where we could spend that mental energy or just who we spend our time with, we need to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success by watching our surroundings. And part of that is setting boundaries. And the cool thing about seeking God for this, and I promise you, if you pray and ask God to show you, He will show you. And one of the things that the Nourish Bible Study Method is all about is that personal relationship with God and teaching you how to discern God's direction in the Holy Spirit. And so if you haven't learned about the Nourish Bible Study Method, I want to invite you to go to our website to do so, because this is what it's all about, right? The cool thing about seeking God for your filter is that that's all the permission that you need to set the boundary. And you need to do it kindly, but you don't need to shrink away, because you're not called to be nice, you're called to be kind. And with this, we've got to find the courage to do it. All right, so the first thing is that they are personal. They're personal. And let me go back to having the courage to do this and the fact that they are personal. I was having lunch with a young woman. She's She's in her early 20s. And we ordered lunch, and her lunch came with sweet potato fries. And so she asked the waiter, can I have regular fries instead of sweet potato fries? And the waiter said, sure. And so the waiter brought over her plate. And when he did, sure enough, there was sweet potato fries on there. And her and I said, well, that's not a problem. We can ask the waiter to bring you, you know, what you wanted. And her response was, no, I don't want to say anything. And I said, but you must, and you need to. And here's why. Because as women, we don't like to make waves. We don't like to speak up. And I said to my friend, I said, now, if you were a real jerk, if you like passed on shame to this waiter, like I told you to bring this and you didn't bring that and blah, blah, blah. Well, that would be wrong. But you can talk to the waiter and you can say, hey, I know you're busy and you've got a lot going on, but I just wanted to let you know that I don't know if you remember this or not, but I ordered, you know, the regular fries instead of the sweet potato fries. And she looked at me and she said, okay, I'll do it. And then she said she almost didn't, like when the waiter came up to her table. She mentioned it to the waiter and he was fine with it and brought her the regular fries. And what I told her is, you know, when we speak up like that and when we share what's going on, a lot of times it's to the benefit. Even when we're setting boundaries with people, in other words, the waiter who wants to get a good tip by serving his clients well, he would want to know if he made a mistake, right? The restaurant wants to know that too. And so when we speak up, a lot of times it's a good thing. When we say no to people, if people are being abusive and we say no to them, do you know that's loving to do? Setting limits with people is loving because it doesn't reward bad behavior and they might learn from it. And it's personal. It's personal. And so we have to have courage to do it. And also, I want to bring this up because by me sharing that with her, when I was teaching this lesson inside of on my Facebook Live, one of the women said, you know, we really need to pass this down to the younger generation. And it's true. It's true. So just take note of that. All right. So the first is seek the farmer to find a filter. The second is that it's personal. The third is this, make it a gateway and not a wall. We get into trouble when we go into the I will nevers or we're placing judgment on people. Like if we were hurt, let's say we were inside of a small group and a woman hurt us and from that we say, well, I will never share my story again. And maybe we go further to create a judgment to say, women will always hurt me. I can never be close to, like, have women friendships. So when we create the I will nevers, what happens is it's like we're setting up a law. And when you set up a law in your life, it prevents you from following the Holy Spirit. The appropriate response to that situation and setting boundaries would be this. That person is not worthy for me to share my story with at this point. Maybe one day they will be. I'm open to that. But right now, this is where God has me. Because if we don't do that, then we get into the I will nevers. And then, you know, some of us, because, you know, feeling that rejection is so painful, we will never be a part of another small group again. We will never be a part of community again. And you don't need to feel bad about that. I mean, we're created to be loved. And so, of course, we don't want to experience rejection. But if we set up walls, permanent walls that can never be changed, it prevents us sometimes from following Jesus. So I want you to think about boundaries this way. Instead of closed walls or just non-existent, you're never setting boundaries, I want you to think of this as a daily walk that you take with Jesus. And there's a gate. And guess who's standing at the gate? The Lord Jesus. And every day, He is the one that is directing you who you should open up your gate for and who you should keep it closed for. And it's a moment by moment choice. It's a day by day decision that we make with the Lord. But what we want to be careful of is the I will never. Let's go back to my example about separating yourself. I talked about the food item of, you know, keeping sweets in your house. Well, let's say that you have done the hard work and you have gotten victory over alcoholism, which if that is you and you are listening, someone that I love very much walked through that, and it was the hardest thing, and she is doing it day by day. And so I just want to say that that's pretty awesome. But let's say, going back, let's say initially Jesus is standing at the gate and He says, no alcohol in your house, and also I need you to never go into a bar or never, you know, never be around people that are partying. That would be legitimate, okay? So Jesus is setting up that boundary. Now, if we start to look at that boundary as law in our life, and let's say that 10 years down the road, let's say that you've taken your story and you've written a Bible study about it. And then one day the Lord says, I want you to go in the bars and talk to the people and minister to them. Well, if you've set up a law, then it prevents you from being led by Jesus, right? So boundaries. It's like we have to seek that filter every day, and the filter can shift and change. And the most important thing is your personal relationship with God, so that you can seek the farmer for the filter, so that your energy will be spent and flow in the right direction, which should be creating that harvest. All right. The next is to have a good sit down. And really look at if you're taking things on, especially this is going to pertain to taking things on mentally, thinking about things. If you're taking on things that are not your responsibility, well, what are some examples of that? If you're taking on somebody's personal happiness, is that your responsibility? No. Neither should we make other people responsible for our feelings. And so really think through that as far as, you know, boundaries go, and just understanding the difference between those two things. All right. And the reason why this is important is because the harvest is at stake. When you don't set boundaries, you're hindering the harvest. And the harvest is not about you. It's about the people that God wants to reach through you. So I'm going to leave you with four areas of your life. I want you to take this exercise. And this will really help you. And I want you to always remember the four T's: my thinking, my time, my things, and my ties. Number one, my thinking. And you want to ask yourself this question. Am I spending my time wisely? Or am I constantly reacting to others' requests of me? In other words, am I spending my time wisely because I've planned my day, or am I living in reaction to everybody around me? Every single day, you and I are going to get bombarded with choices. If this is your struggle, what difference would it make if you sat down with Jesus for 5 minutes and wrote out a to-do list and planned your day? Now, we've always got to be ready for margin, because, you know, there will be interruption in our life, and a lot of times it's divine interruption. But anybody who is successful in life lives by planning their day and creating a to-do list. And the reason is that when you seek God, when you pray over your to-do list, and then you write it down, you've established a filter. And you can begin to make choices in your day that are proactive instead of reactive. Not that things don't come in that we need to address, right? So in other words, remember, it's a gate. Right? It's a gate. So if we set up laws with the time, if we write it down in pen, then that's when it becomes, you can begin to feel like a failure. But if you set some parameters based on how the Holy Spirit is leading you, it allows you to really focus your energy and spend your minutes on what matters most. All right. So the first one is time. The next one are our ties, meaning our close relationships. Now, I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm not talking about those God has called you to minister to. I'm talking about your close ties. That's a second T. And is there a close tie in your life that is depleting you instead of feeding you, that drains your energy? How would your life feel if you felt okay with establishing some distance? Let me tell you, the Bible is so clear, and I'm going to give you some scriptures. Are you ready? Proverbs 13:20, 1 Corinthians 13:20, Jude 1:16, 2 Timothy 3:5-7, and Joshua chapter 9. You can rewind back if you want to go through and look at all those. But these are all scriptures that teach us that it's biblical to watch who we spend our time with, that our close connections matter because it has an impact on our life. The people we spend time with, and that can be in a negative way and a positive way. If we spend our time with faith-filled people, right, and we are having that healthy connection that God desires. And by the way, God's desire for healthy connection is something called interdependence. And interdependence means I do not lose my identity inside of community. And so that's what we need to pay attention to here. The next thing, and let me just break for this. When you decide to distance yourself from a person, and it could be just for a season, you know, I don't think it's necessary for you to have this major conversation with them and tell them all the reasons why and blah, 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 blah. I think it's appropriate to just maybe step back a bit and reevaluate. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes when we are enmeshed with people, it's hard for us to just see truth. If we'll pull back and release that tie, and the way that we release it is usually through forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be that person's best friend, but it means that we just really let go. We let go and we reestablish that relationship with God and then gain His perspective. And He might call you to reestablish that connection. But I'm here to tell you that it's completely biblical for you not to feel like that you have to be close to everybody. There are some people that you need to keep at arm's length, and there are others that you need to hold close. And who's going to give you that filter? God will, I promise. I promise God will. All right, because here's the thing. The Bible tells us that Jesus knows the hearts of man. It is not, we cannot judge a person's heart, but if we have that nudge from the Holy Spirit, that, you know, that caution that we need to keep our distance, we need to see that that is Jesus at the gate saying, we need to close this for now. All right. The next thing is your thinking. So we've talked about our time, our ties. Now we're moving into our thinking. And I want to ask you, Are you replaying a wrong over and over and over again? Are you taking up mental energy in your life through excessive worry? And do you think this is honoring to God? And the answer is no. The answer is no. And so we need to take our thoughts captive. And really, there is nothing more impactful that I have found that it inside of this to combat this and the thinking because is daily biblical meditation. Daily biblical meditation. And the way that I do that is I have what I call my anchor of truth. And for those of you that do the Nourish Bible Study Method, you know what I'm talking about. But I have my anchor of truth, which is a verse from the Bible, and then I write down a truth that spoke to me about it. And I spend the first 5 to 10 minutes of my quiet time just meditating on that word. This is powerful. Ever notice in the Bible how the Bible talks a lot about remembering, reflecting, or renewing our mind? And we do a lot of Bible study, but do you devote the same kind of time to renewing your mind? It's so paramount because as much as there is a God that loves you, there's an enemy that wants to steal your joy and to steal your time and to steal all. And one of the most powerful ways he does that is inside of your thinking. And so we've got to gain a filter for our thinking by saturating ourselves inside of the Word. And one of the ways that we can do that very powerfully is through biblical meditation. That's God's prescription to renew your mind. And it's never like you've arrived. It is a lifetime practice that we need to incorporate inside of our life. And see, the truth is, well, I'll just tell you to it straight. When I started incorporating biblical meditation, the first time I sat down to do it, I was like, God, I can't do this. I mean, I'm so distracted and I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, not in an audible voice, but just into my heart. And the Lord said to me, and it was like he wrapped his arms around me and said, Helene, you already are. You already are meditating. Every time you replay a wrong, you're meditating. Every time you worry and worry, you're meditating. Every time you think about a past regret, you're meditating not on the truth in my word, not on the hope that I want to bring you through my word, but on lies from the enemy. Just like with time, with our calendars, we have to be proactive instead of passive. With our tithes, we have to, same thing with our thinking. And that's why the Bible talks about taking those thoughts captive. And biblical meditation, you can learn how to do that. It's a part of the Nourish Bible Study Method. So if you want to incorporate that into your life, download the resources that we have where you can learn how to do this. All right. And then the last thing, last T, so we've talked about our time, our ties, our thoughts. The last T are the things in your house. What are you surrounding yourself with? I'm serious. Inside of your workspace, inside of your house. And are these things, because what we see matters. And things actually, things can, like we can have something and it might be attached to a past hurt. Well, there comes a point where we need to let that go. Do you know what I'm saying? A picture, we need to make sure that we have things in front of us that are feeding us rather than depleting us. I want you to think about how God works through vision. In Joshua chapter 5, when the Israelites are getting ready to try to get that wall down, it says in the Bible, it talks about in the very beginning of that chapter, it says, see. And so God is asking them to have vision. And actually, I'm going to turn to that scripture so that I can read it to you. excuse me, it's Joshua chapter 6. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho.'" And in some translations, it says, "See, I have given you Jericho." So God was giving them a vision of what he wanted them to see. And see, we can even, if God has given us a vision, something that can be so powerful is to surround yourself with pictures of your vision by creating a vision board. The bottom line is this: in all of these things, your time, your ties, your thinking, and the things that you surround yourself with. Every person who has created a harvest for God's glory, if you were to ask them, did they have discipline in this area? They would say yes. And I think that for all of us, there comes a point in time where we have to stop apologizing for following God. And when you follow God, you cannot be nice. You cannot say, "I will never be able to say no." Why? Because the harvest is at stake. So remember the seed parable. What surrounded the seed was what caused it to soar or suffer. Setting boundaries to surround yourself with the right environment is the key to becoming who God created you to be. Thanks so much for listening in, and I look forward to you joining us next time. If you know somebody that has trouble setting boundaries or has struggled with this in the past, why don't you send them a link to this podcast? That will not only help them, but it helps make a difference inside of Treasured Ministries by helping us to grow and reach more people. I appreciate you so much, and know that your time is valuable, and honored that you chose to spend this time with us. Have a great day. Bye-bye.